Coming to you from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios, you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on WBQC LP Cincinnati 95.7 FM. Speaking for the legal basis of marijuana. WBQCLP, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. WBQCLP does not endorse any political campaign or candidates. The opinions expressed on Hemp Rock Radio do not reflect the views of WBQCLP, Media Bridges, its staff, or Board of Trustees. The opinions expressed reflect the views of Hemp Rock and our guests. Thanks for listening. Welcome, Hemp Rockers, to Radio Free Queen City and the Tuesday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the happy Hemptress and joint hosts, the Burn Man and the Dope Boy Pot and Hash, featuring the Pottsbury Bakery and Hemp Rock Cafe on WBQC LP 95.7 FM, the voice of the Queen City.
I got a hand full of wonders. I'm gonna cultivate this mystery. Ain't gonna be green, green tree. Do you want me to want it?
WBQC 95.7 is online at WVQC.org. Hemp Rock is at HempRock.com, and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line is at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP.
To talk to us during the show, call 513-564-9600. That's 513-564-9600.
And now, here is Hemp Rock Radio with all things hemp, marijuana, the drug war, and more, including guests, music, news, food, and lots of fun here on 95.7 FM WVQC-LP, low power to the people.
Question the codes, dozing in drug war, empty slogans at best, profits for some, oppressing the rest. Who's got a stake in the status quo? Right wing gangsters and cops are gone. Growing hemp is a net of sedition. We're living inside the new prohibition. Living inside the the law's gotta change, we're not old fools. 50 million people are breaking the rules. Something smells rotten in the land of the free. So we are liberty. Everybody's lasting for the laws of the land. You can't be behind what you don't understand. Hard to justify this position. Living inside the new prohibition. Living inside the new prohibition. Living inside the new prohibition. About a green revolution, getting back to the freedom we had. Decades of devolution, gone collectively stark raving mad. studies all point out the truth. Decriminalize, get respect from our youth. You can win the war, but you've already lost. Learn from the past and minimize the cost. Put the money you save into education. Drug dealers get a new occupation. Time for the country to make a transition. We're living inside the new prohibition. Living inside the new prohibition. Living inside the new prohibition.
Hey, this is Willie, and you're going to be voting for a governor in your state, Kentucky, pretty quick. So think about Gigwood Galbraith, because he's my friend. I've known him a long time. He and I believe the same way about a whole lot of things, and I think you believe a lot of the same things that he does. So hear him out. Gigwood for governor. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Tupac Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that one. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Hello, hello. We are on the air here at WVQC, as Willie Nelson says. And again, of course, Hemp Rock would like to thank the gracious Mr. Nelson for that from last Friday when we, very special treat, got to see the show live stage. Unbelievable. Did not expect that wonderful treat. And especially for the nice clips we have there. Of course, now the first one, as you heard, is for Gatewood Galbraith, and I want to give a special thanks to Gatewood. He was our guest recorded yesterday. If you missed it, it'll be up on the WEEDRadioNetwork.com as soon as I get the editing done, of course. You know, I'm an unpaid boss here. And I get to it when I can, but I promise, folks, I will get to it tonight and tomorrow and get not only this week's but last week's shows up at the WEED, as Willie told you. But he, of course, as not only himself personally, but as the National Willie Nelson Teapot Party, supports and endorses candidates, and Gatewood, of course, is the main one, I believe, and he's always supported Gatewood's campaign. So he did that last Tuesday in Louisville at his show for Gatewood. That's a video that is, you can see up on YouTube. That is the audio that I put together for it. And Burnman will have the clip also on coming Hemp Rock TV shows coming real soon. And I think it's cool that he did a clip for you.
A clip on YouTube.
I can't hear you, Burnman.
He's moving.
Are you up high? Is your mic up high enough?
It looks good.
Okay. Alrighty.
That clip up on YouTube, that's on Willie's bus, ain't it?
Yes, that's sitting on the honeysuckle
rose.
Looks
like he's at home.
Well, his bus is his home. It's not like a greyhound.
Like
it's not like a greyhound, Birdman.
Yeah.
Where you got rows of seats. It's, you know, it's a trailer kind of bus. Now you get your microphone fixed there. There you go. That's better. Anyway, on behalf of Hemp Rock as well as Gatewood Galbraith, I'd like to thank him. And then there also seems to be a run of cool stuff with Willie, of course, in Indiana, the Re-Legalize Indiana. They also got a clip. Now, where did I put it? I already misplaced it. Too many things on Facebook and everything to keep up with. But Bill Blevins, I believe, is the name. He's running in Indianapolis. So we'll talk about that in the future. But you can see their clip from Willie endorsing Bill Blevins in Indiana as well. So kudos to Willie Nelson, man. Talk about putting his neck on the line. As we reported yesterday, of course, the DA in Sierra Blanca wants to, well, claims that they smoked the pot that made the weight go down to enough to where it would stay in his county. And now all he wants to do is have Willie pay $100 fine and $258 in court costs and sing a song to the courtroom.
Yeah, have a concert there in the courthouse.
Yeah. Boy, I'd like to go to that show. That'd be fantastic. So, you know, the only issue that I have is they really didn't need to bust Willie to get him to go to court to sing a song. They could have just asked him if he would serenade the judge on behalf of medical marijuana patients and he would have done it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he would have.
You know? So it's just ridiculous that he would have to go through all of this. But, hey, you know, good things, you know, they always say come out of bad things, light out of dark. So now we have the Teapot Party on behalf of Willie Nelson, and we're proud to be the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky chapter and proud to have him do a PSA for our show as well as the chapter and the Teapot Party.
The only thing we need with the Teapot Party is more people coming down.
Huh? That's exactly right. Well, I am, of course, getting ready to hold a meeting in the next week or so. Have been very, very busy getting things together for, of course, our upcoming event and other things going on. But, you know, we've just got a lot of stuff. Now, I do want to say we have, hopefully, two very special guests coming up here on the show. About 1:35, we have Adam Brook from Detroit, Michigan. He has been one of the leaders in Michigan law-changing efforts as long as I can remember. He came here in 1993 to help us at a Hemprock Hempfest. I bet he remembers sliding in the mud. But he's been around for years. He's one of the organizers of Hash Bash, and he is on the second half hour of the show at 1:35-ish. And hopefully, in the interim, we will get a hold of John Sinclair. Adam's, he knows about the show, but we got to make sure the man wakes up. He's up in Chicago. So we're trying to get John Sinclair on. Hopefully, he will be on in the 2 o'clock segment. And if you don't know who John Sinclair is, of course, he is why there is the 40th, I think 40th, I believe. Let me check that. I do believe it is the 40th Hash Bash. But Adam can make sure. Yep, 40th annual. That's what I thought. Here we go. That, of course, takes place in Ann Arbor, Michigan this Saturday, folks. So if you haven't ever been to the Hash Bash, boy, the 40th annual. And it's supposed to be 50 degrees out, folks. That is great for Ann Arbor this time of year. I have been at the Hash Bash, and it's been 20. And everybody's going, brr, where's the joint? Well, they do that anyway. But this, of course, kicks off at high noon on the Diag on campus for the rally. And after that, you march over to Monroe Street. And from 1 to 5 p.m., it's the Monroe Street Fair. And everybody gets to hang out in Dominic's, the cool pizza place right on the street. A lot of fun, a lot of fun. And, of course, you will get to see John Sinclair live, not only at the rally, but also at the Monroe Street Fair. And we hope to have him on at 2 o'clock and to talk to him about the legacy that he did not know he was creating when he got busted for 10 for 2. That's right, folks, 10 years for 2 joints. And, of course, John Lennon wrote a song about it, and we'll be playing that later in the show. But I do want to tell you the show that, or the song that I played at the top of the show, is actually from a CD that we're going to play a song from John Sinclair later in the show as well. But going through this stuff last night, I saw this and I just love this guy. Most people don't know who he is. His name is Cy Kernan. He is the lead singer of the band The Fix. Everybody remember, one thing leads to another, The Fix. And I just really dig this guy's voice. And apparently he digs us. So about a little over a decade ago, there was a CD that came out called The Musical History of Hemp, The New Prohibition, and Cy Kernan did the title track called New Prohibition. I bet you can find that on the web somewhere. Just don't go to eBay. They suck.
Yeah, the first Hash Bash, We've got that ready to go for a program. Remember, we're supposed to hold it till John Sinclair come on the radio.
I think I do remember that.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping.
I had it running by now, if I'd have known.
Well, I've actually.
But we'll get it up.
I wasn't sure if we're going to get him. I've tried to make contact for a few days and finally got a hold of Adam. And so we're hoping that we get John
on
today.
I've been hanging on to that for about a year now.
Well, you know, I'm going up to Hash Bash this weekend. So if for some reason he's sleeping. And does not make it on the show today, then I'll just get a face-to-face interview with them on Saturday, and then you can use it for that. How's that?
Okay.
Either way, folks, stay tuned, and we'll let you know whether or not we're going to get John on. But in about 15 or so minutes, we will have Adam Book on. We're going to not only talk about Hash Bash and his part in that, but also what happened to himself as a medical marijuana patient in the state of Michigan. Adam Book was busted recently on, I believe it says, 8 felony counts, and all about medical marijuana. So we will talk to Adam about that and see how that case is going with him and why he thinks they did it. Of course, I can tell you why. He's been one of the leaders in the community in Michigan for years, pushing the legalization of marijuana for all of its uses. And you know what happens? It happened to Paul Stanford in Oregon. They're going after him. So we'll see. A lot of other people, boy, they are trying to take out the generals. And I know I'm getting disgusted with it. And I know a lot of other people are, too. But in the meantime, I know I have some quick things I want to tell you about. Don't forget the Global Marijuana March is coming up May 7th around the world. And I will have that promotion completely together in the next week or so. But I have information as it comes. I'm going to let you know. Of course, we're going to start off at 3 o'clock at the Freedom Center downtown and march across the bridge, the suspension bridge into Covington, so we can go to the courthouse, old jail, down there on, was that York?
No.
No, Park. Park. That's Park right there. And we're going to cheer Kentucky on for half-ass decrimming. I like to call it that.
Oh, right around the corner, there's the real courthouse.
Yeah, it's another block or so. So nobody's there really on Saturday at either building, so does it really matter?
Yeah.
It's about going there and cheering, holding your signs, and going, all right, now let's turn around and march back to Cincinnati for the 420. In time for that, and then come out to Miami Town Cleves area to the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest that evening. Doors will open at 6, music will kick off at 7, and the bands that have already booked are The Ohms, Madras Lounge, we just booked them last night, Open Mind Productions, we love those guys, Wendy Oakley and the Posse, and of course, Brian, Senior Bull, is also our MC. And we're waiting to hear back from the Sock Monkeys, possibly the Black and Tan Carpet Band, DFI, and also the Incendium Arts Fire Troupe. Of course, we'll have Tanya Davis speaking and others, and a lot of fun. And so stay tuned for that. You'll be able to get more information at hemprock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line as soon as I make my updates. A lot of work, so waiting to get that information so I don't have to do it more than once. Sorry, folks, I'm not a paid volunteer.
They better hurry up or they won't be on it.
Yeah. That's right. By the way, we also have Country Kenny sitting in the house. Kenny, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good.
How's those street vibes going for you?
It's slow at the end of the month.
Yeah, and plus, you know, it's good weather. People are trying to go other places. Maybe you should go to the parks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've been jumping around.
Any good stories coming out of it?
Quite a few. I don't know none right offhand.
No. Well, I haven't had a chance to read it. But, of course, we're talking about the Street Vibes magazine newspaper for the homeless community. And, of course, I don't know for sure if Jenny was on today.
I showed up today at noon.
She wasn't
and
here.
She couldn't get her person to come in or something.
So she sat out. Yeah, I was listening at home, so I was wondering about that. Well, unfortunately, the Speak Out, Speak Up show did not get to air today. But she is the newest show here at WVQC. And so tune in high noon normally preceding this show on Tuesday, Hemp Rock here, and catch an hour of not only the issues of the homeless, but many, many other issues that she does talk about. And also, don't forget, if you want to really go to a place on 420 for an event, DC would be the place. Of course, the Overgrow the Government, that's govt.org or .com, actually, Stickman says, and get the information for the 420 rally in DC. And I think the information I have is actually backwards, so I'm going to be dyslexic. They're going to start at the Washington Monument and go to the Lafayette Park in their march. So for more information, if you want to go to D.C. and march on 420, that is, of course, again, overgrowthegovt.org/com and find out that information. And I believe I have a text from Adam. So let's see what Adam has to say before he comes on the air. He may be doing another show, he says, so we'll find out if we can get John on here for a few minutes anyway. Stay tuned here in just a few minutes. Of course, Adam will be on the line, and we'll be getting the story on what's going on with John Sinclair. He may be doing a radio show in Chicago. Well, let me say that right. Chicago. Would that be Chicago? I don't know. Anyway, a lot of things in the news. I want to hit a couple of headlines, of course, before we actually talk to our friend Adam. Now, this comes from, looks like People Magazine. You can find this at people.com. Let me make it bigger in the text because, of course, I am half blind here, and especially in this studio. You know, people are always saying, we need to get somebody as a poster child for marijuana. What celebrity can we get? Well, there are so many. Of course, you can find out about all the celebs at celebstoner.com, but this is one of my favorites. Of course, now people are going, like we didn't know. Whoopi Goldberg, she says, I smoked pot before my Oscar speech. Whoopi Goldberg wasn't just high on excitement that night that she won an Oscar in 1991. In an old video of The View co-host, which surfaced in the internet Thursday, she admitted she was stoned while accepting the Best Supporting Actress Oscar for her role in Ghost. Smoking cigarettes and pot every now and then are my habits, and I thought, I've got to relax. So I smoked this wonderful joint that was the last of my homegrown, Goldberg explains in a video. In the clip, dated August 9th, 1992, and reportedly filmed during the voiceover session for The Pagemaster, Goldberg revealed that she was so shocked by her win that she was worried about making it up to the stage. When the presenter, Denzel Washington, said her name, and she says, said my name, and I popped up, I thought, okay, up the stairs, around the podium, there's millions of people. Pick up the statue, get the statue, she said. While the actress was poised in her acceptance speech, she says her mother could tell her daughter was stoned because of her glistening eyes and later called to scold her. Whoopi's mother yelled at her.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute. Whoopi's mom yelled at her daughter, scolded her daughter for smoking a joint before going on the Oscar stage. I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, but I don't drink alcohol, Goldberg says on the tape. Just because I do it doesn't mean you should. Well, I think people should, but that, of course, is my opinion. And, you know, if you think about it, this is really medical use. Some people take Prozac or Valiums before they hit the stage, and that's considered medical use. Right, Burnman?
Yeah.
So why shouldn't that be medical use? She was nervous, she smoked a joint, and she felt better, and she went on stage. That's medical.
And safer than the pharmaceutical.
It's safer than the Valium or the Prozac. So I don't understand the issue. I really don't. But kudos to Whoopi, as far as I'm concerned. Now I'm going to try to get this one thing opened because it was about a basketball person. It's probably not going to come up. But got my connection, so we'll see. Anyway, it is Hemp Rock Radio. Of course, I'm the Happy Hemptress, and we do have lots of things to get to today in the news. Here we go. This is coming from Celeb Stoner. As I said, if you want to know about celebrities, that's where you want to get it. This came down the last Wednesday, so we did not get a chance to put it out last week. Another cannabis cougar, and I don't mean old lady, busted at Washington State. WSU men's basketball team rocked by its third marijuana arrest this season last Tuesday, defeated Northwestern in the NIT on Wednesday 69-66. Junior forward D'Angelo Castro, the player cited for marijuana possession, was suspended indefinitely and then reinstated, thank God, just hours before the game. They went, all right, you've been punished enough. Get back in here. We need to win. Thank God for that, right? Athletic Director Bill Moose explained, "There are unique circumstances involving this matter, and I feel the appropriate avenue to take is to allow the legal system to run its course before we consider further action." Castro scored 11 points and grabbed 8 rebounds in the Cougars' exciting victory. WSU advanced to the semifinals against Wichita State on March 29th. At 1:40 a.m. on March 22nd, the Pullman police officer was investigating a possible robbery at Northwest Terreview Drive when he saw a screen off of a window in the apartment complex. The officer peeked through the window. Wait a minute.
Peeking Tom.
He peeked through the window. Now, first of all, the Supreme Court rules you're not supposed to bust anybody if you see him through the window. It's not probable cause. They had to go get a warrant. So.
And you're not allowed to peep.
That's Peeping Tom.
Yeah.
Jeez. Let me say that again, just so y'all get that. He was investigating a possible robbery on this street when he saw a screen off of a window in the apartment complex. The reflection, folks. The officer then peeked through the window and noticed a man rolling a joint or blunt at the kitchen table. As he rang the bell, he smelled marijuana coming from Castor's apartment. Also not probable cause, according to the Supreme Court. Pullman Police Department Commander Chris Tennant tells Celeb Stoner that Castro was cooperative when the officer asked for the bag of marijuana, since the officer doesn't matter. He was under duress. He didn't know who was knocking at his door. Since the officer did not have his citation book, Castro was not officially arrested, or actually criminally cited, until that night when he was charged with possession of less than 40 grams of marijuana and the use of paraphernalia, the baggie containing the marijuana. Castro pled not guilty, and his lawyer, Timothy Esser, filed a motion to suppress the evidence found during the search of Castro's apartment. However, Tennant contends there was no search. Yeah, he just was out on the open already. "This case is never going to get to first base," Esser says. "The case will be dismissed," and I agree. "There was absolutely no compliance with constitutional privacy interest requirements. Nevertheless, Castro was suspended indefinitely, which means he will not suit up for tonight's." Of course, this was last week, and as you know, they put him in. Castro, who's averaging 12.1 PPG and 6.8 RPG, was the third Cougar to be busted for pot this season. Last December 12th, point guard Reggie Moore was charged with possession of less than 40 grams of marijuana and for use of paraphernalia. March 3rd, the team's scoring leader, the leader in scoring, Clay Thompson, was cited for possession of less than 40 grams. He apologizes publicly to fans on March 5th. Moore and Thompson are both suspended for one game. First of all, they weren't found guilty, so why is the team harassing them and suspending them all? And maybe that guard, or I'm sorry, the coach should sit back and go, three of my top players are pot smokers. Come on, everybody smoke pot.
Yeah, but the thing is, cops don't like the Cougars too much.
Maybe, yeah, they must like
the... They're betting their money the wrong way or something.
Yeah, they're betting against them. Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. Isn't that ridiculous? Well, stay tuned. It is Hemp Rock Radio. That is our sports topic of the day, and I don't think I need my soapbox anymore on that, but we're going to go ahead and roll a DPA PSA and come back right after that with John Lennon, and you'll know the song, and it is the theme of not only today's show, but this Saturday in Ann Arbor, Michigan at the Hash Bash. Stay tuned. Adam Brook will be up right after that, and we hope John Sinclair for at least a few minutes. It's Hemp Rock Radio.
Every time you buy pot from Mexico or Colombia, you're putting an American out of work. We of the American Dope Growers Union support ourselves by growing marijuana in American soil. We've had a pretty hard time on our own, but with the union, we can live decent lives and stay off welfare. That's my union, and that's what our union label stands for. So look for the union label when you are buying that quaint little pound. Remember somewhere our union's growing. Don't you be smoking at the best guys around. We know we work hard, but who's to blame? When we at any we stay high and earn our way. So always look for the union label.
This message brought to you by the American Dope Growers Union. Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers the simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
WVQC.
Yeah, all right.
Radio for the people, by the people.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. We envision new drug policies grounded in science, compassion, health, and human rights.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because it fosters debate on drug policy.
Because the war on drugs represents an extraordinary violation of human rights.
Because whether you use drugs or not, you deserve to be treated with respect, kindness, and dignity.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I'm a scientist.
Because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I want my children to receive honest drug education.
Because it's time to step out of our comfort zone and begin to tell the truth about drugs and our failed drug policies.
Because the war on drugs is a war on people of color.
The Drug Policy Alliance promotes harm reduction.
Because the drug problem is a health problem, not a criminal problem.
We promote new solutions to reduce the harms of both drug use and drug prohibition.
I support the Drug Policy Alliance because I believe in the right to sovereignty over one's own mind and body.
Because so many people are incarcerated.
I know. I spent 12 years in prison because of the first time nonviolent drug offense.
Because I believe in personal freedom and personal choice.
Because the drug war is not the war on drugs, it's
the war on people. I'm Tony Papa.
I'm George Soros.
I'm Sting, and I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I'm Larice Harvey.
I am Dr. Mathilde Quinn.
I'm Elizabeth Sarnoff.
I'm Monta Waters. And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
And I am the Drug Policy Alliance.
We are the Drug Policy Alliance. Online at drugpolicy.org. Please join us.
Hi, we're Cheech and Chong, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queens City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress over there rolling up the pots. Today is, of course, the Burn Man with Hemp Rock TV over taking a nap is Country Kenny. And, of course, if you didn't know, that song was, of course, Power to the People from John Lennon. And I will tell you, that is the theme of the show today. But I have two other things I want to tell you before we move forward with our guest. I did forget to mention going in that we were playing from Saturday Night Live, 1977, folks, with Gilda and all the other people like John Belushi and everybody, some of them gone, some of them still here, thank God. Of course, the American Dope Growers Union. Now, I believe, of course, like them, even back in 1977, that we need to grow American pot. Let's buy American, right? Not that Mexican pot doesn't have a use, it does, or other, like Canadian pot. But the point is, of course, like SSDP says, you put one guy out of business, another one comes in. So why shouldn't we do it legitimately and be the real American Dope Growers Union?
Farmers need to work.
That's right. Besides, they've kicked that off in California. You know, there is a union now that is doing that. But also, before I forget, today, I missed the 10 o'clock. I totally got stoned and forgot. But if you live in the Cincinnati area or anywhere else, it will be repeated on the CW. I don't know what that is in your area. Here it's 12.2 on your digital channels. It is, of course, today's Dr. Oz show, recorded yesterday with Alan St. Pierre. Yes, Montel Williams and others are on there speaking about should medical marijuana now be legalized. And I hear it was a little bit crazy. They not only have a bunch of normal supporters in the audience, they have some heroin addicts. You would have thought they would have talked about Ibogaine, Birdman, but they didn't, as far as I know. So I don't know yet where Dr. Oz stands, and I'm going to hold my opinion on it until I see the show. I am ready to record it at 2 p.m. our time here in Cincinnati. Check out on the Dr. Oz site if you want to know when the repeat is in your city. And otherwise, I'm sure you'll be able to see it up on YouTube real shortly. Hit that phone. We're going to bring our guest online, of course. My guest today here on Hemp Rock Radio, the first guest, and I hope there will be another one named John Sinclair after him. But first, I have Adam Brook, my friend from Detroit, on the line. Adam, how you doing today?
Good. How you doing, Lynn?
I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. So now, I know that you have been Michigan Normal and different things. What organization are you specifically working for or with, or your own organization? I'm not really sure what you're doing other than, besides being a medical patient, let me put it that way, that you work with today.
Yeah, well, I organize the Hash Bash with a student group on campus. And it's a normal chapter on campus.
It is the normal chapter on campus. That's what I thought.
They really are kids from the SSDP chapter who form the normal chapter in order to put the permit under that name as opposed to SSDP. So it's really the same group of kids at campus.
Wonderful. Well, as you know, you just heard the PSA from the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We love and adore them.
Oh, yes. They are our future.
Yes, they are. We helped get a chapter together here at UC campus, so we'll definitely support them and the nationals. And international, they've gone now. I think if any organization is really doing great work, it is the kids, because you're right, they're the future. So now, real quick, let's talk about the Hash Bash. Then I want to talk about what's going on with you personally, with your medical and your bus that you had.
Sure.
But tell us what's going on with the Hash Bash this weekend, that it's new and improved or whatever.
Well, it's the 40th annual Ann Arbor Hash Bash at High Noon on Saturday, April 2nd, on the Diag. This year, we got really lucky, and we have the former Republican governor of the state of New Mexico, Governor Gary Johnson, will be speaking, and he has, of course, he was term limited out of office, so
yeah.
In his final term, he came out as a legalization guy and all for it, and He is going around the country promoting his ideas, and sounds like he may even be running for president.
I'm hoping so. I'm very thrilled to hear that he's going to be there, because that is one man I want to interview, and
yeah,
he is fantastic.
That was a big phone call when I got that.
I bet.
I've been sitting on that one for a while.
Well, very good.
Of course, we're going to have John Sinclair will be there, and because the medical law in Michigan is so prominent right now, there will be all kinds of people speaking on behalf of different things, whether it be I'm lost here. I'm looking for the list. The
Michigan Medical Coalition. The association, MMA. MMMA.
MMMA, there's the Michigan.
Let's see, I have...
Consumers. Hold on. The MACC is the Michigan Association of Compassion Clubs. They'll be represented.
So kind of like the Union of Clubs.
Right, right, right. They've organized their own little union.
Yeah.
There will be a bunch of former organizers that have done the job that I've done over the years. A few of them are coming back from different places. Rich Burkett, who now lives down in Mexico, will be back in town.
Rich moved to Mexico, huh? What part of Mexico?
Yeah, he's living in Guadalajara. It's funny he moved to Guadalajara because I lived there when I was 5.
Well, you know, I have friends from here in Cincinnati when they got disgusted when Bush won the second election, and they happened to be in Lake Chapala on vacation and had met all the gringos down there and were partying, and then they were all really sad that night. And the next day, Peter and Lane went out and rented a house. And now they own a home in Lake Chapala, to be honest, is 14 hours south of Guadalajara. So we need to hook these folks up down there.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll have people... someone will talk about Rainbow Farm and the tragedy out there. Different lawyers speaking. This year's going to be a good year. We've got a couple people that have really come out from the past. There's a guy by the name of John Rosevere who wrote a book in 1965 called Pot, a Marijuana Handbook.
Yeah.
And he's been an Ann Arbor resident for 40-some years.
Wow.
And he'll be speaking at Hash Bash this year. So
wonderful.
It should be a lot of fun.
Sounds like a great one. Not that any of them, you can't say any of them are bad.
Well, no, that's the cool thing about the event is everyone asks me, you know, what do you think Hash Bash is going to be like this year? And well, it's always based on the weather. And if the weather's nice, it's going to be really cool, and there'll be tens of thousands of people in town. If the weather's not so nice, there'll be tens of thousands of people in town. So... it really doesn't matter if the weather's good or bad. People still come. And it's amazing how many people show up when there's an inch of snow on the ground on the first Saturday in April. And we're expecting snow. We're expecting sunshine and 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So it could be massive. And we've gotten a ton of publicity and good write-ups in the paper. Of course, we've had some bad write-ups in the paper.
But I'm sure.
Still getting write-ups in the paper, so that helps, and that exposure, that media exposure, does nothing but increase the size of the event.
So. I just want to tell you, I'm getting a message here in Facebook. So Bruce says to tell you hi, Headwise.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's Headwise now.
I understand. He is Headwise.
Many, many different guises. As you know, his last endeavor was with the group of guys that were doing the Zephyr Ion that we don't know yet why got raided by Customs in January, or December, rather, right before the end of the year. So we're hoping.
It couldn't be political. No.
No, it couldn't be political. Nothing like that.
Yeah, if I could only get more Zephyr units, let me tell you.
I know. Boy, tell me about it. Yes, they are. I talking to Gatewood a couple days ago. That's Willie's favorite. He sits on the bus with that. Of course, we won't tell anybody about that because we don't want anybody to know that Willie Nelson's smoking a vaporizer on his bus, right?
I don't know why anyone would think any different.
Yeah, right, exactly. But so now, I want to talk a few minutes. As you pointed out, nobody would do anything like that for political reasons. So let's move that as a segue to what is going on with you, your, what I believe, political bust, being who you are. Now, before I go on to that, I actually have to say and let people know, we've known each other since 1993 when I had the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest to protest the Pride conference that was here in Cincinnati that week. We kicked it off with the Hemp Rock Hemp Fest way out at the top of the Mud Hill. I'm sure you remember.
No, but yeah.
You know, but yeah, I remember you brought your U-Haul truck up way out in the country.
Here.
The big, huge top hill that was full of mud and nobody could get up or down.
I was using a rider truck before you couldn't drive around the country in a rider truck.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it was a rider. It wasn't a U-Haul.
No, it was a rider.
Yeah, you're right. But so that was our first encounter, and I appreciated you coming in and helping out with that, the Mud Fest, as they like to call it. And so now let's talk about what happened with you. You are specifically a some people like to think that some aren't, but you are what is considered a true, real medical marijuana patient.
In the state, we're called a qualified patient.
Qualified. Well, let's tell folks what qualified you first, so people realize the condition that you are in physically.
Oh, well, my physical condition is a mess.
We're not talking about your mental, just your physical.
No, I know. I suffer from a degenerative disc disease that has left me having two fusion surgeries, one in my lower back and one in my neck, which limited my movement. And, of course, since those surgeries, I have continued to have a degenerative disc issue requiring more surgeries that I've just decided to put off. But I also, because I'm a chronic pain patient, I take exorbitant amounts of opiates, and I suffer, of course, all of those side effects. But I came down with had an allergic reaction to some pain medicine that I was given. Actually, they give Cymbalta to people with nerve pain.
Hey, Adam, can you speak up just a little bit higher? And then let me ask you, is that anything related to the Stevens-Johnson syndrome, your allergic reaction? Because that is one of the conditions that people get.
It is not.
Okay.
But what happened to me was I had this allergic reaction to the Cymbalta that caused my lymphatic system and my legs to shut down.
Great pharmaceuticals.
So I immediately, of course, got off of that, and then it took a year of wrapping my legs every day to get my lymphatic system to return to somewhat normal. At the same time, they found that the lump in my neck was thyroid cancer, and I had surgery last March for the thyroid cancer. So, I certainly, it's kind of funny, when I went to the doctor to get my patient qualification signed. I did like many people did, and I went to an expo where they had doctors lined up because I wanted to have that experience that people were forced to have.
Yeah.
So I could talk about it.
Yeah.
And I handed this man this chart that was, 2 inches thick, and he opened it up and started looking, and the first thing he said to me is, "Wow, you must be in a lot of pain." And, he gladly signed the form, and it was simple because pretty obvious when you take one look at me that I might be 6'4" and I might weigh 300 pounds, but I'm not the big, tough, rough guy I used to be.
That's right.
So, I certainly qualify as a patient under the law in Michigan, which is, something that when I got into the whole marijuana movement, medical marijuana was a concept and one of the things that I thought was pretty neat about the movement.
Yeah.
We were talking about fuel, food, fiber, and medicine. We were
Jack Hare Credo.
Right. We were talking about back in the day that, hash bash was a smoke-in. It was about coming out and smoking a joint on the diag. Of course, they didn't have their own police force like they do now.
Yeah.
So things were very different when I got involved. Now that medical marijuana has come to the state of Michigan, it has totally invigorated the movement, and now people like me who have been doing this for a long time finally are reaping some of the rewards. Well,
right.
At least I thought I was until I was in the pool at the high school, or former high school, for my water aerobics class at 8:45 at night, and two police officers walked into the pool. And I knew at that point that it was the same day that Big Daddy's had been raided at 6 o'clock.
And where is Big Daddy's?
Big Daddy's is they do the Michigan Medical Marijuana Magazine.
Dispensary.
Dispensary.
Or Compassion Club. Is it considered?
Compassion Club. Whatever. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what they do. They do a number of different things, but they're certainly well-respected, and they're certainly pumping tons of money into the movement.
Yeah.
And, they were raided at 6 o'clock. I got that phone call at about 6:15. I went to my water aerobics class. These two cops walk in. I knew one of two things happened. Either my wife, who drops me off, had been in a car accident and they were coming to let me know, or I had been raided.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, my wife was not in an accident.
Yeah.
And these guys basically brought me home to a drug raid being
in progress.
In progress on my house.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm in court over this issue now. there's really not much I can say specifically about this.
Right. I was going to ask you that, what you could say, what you can say.
Right. I do appreciate the fact that people think it's a political thing. I will tell you that everybody, all my friends know that when they read the things in the newspaper that they read, they know what that means. They know that they come into your home and they start looking in places you never thought they would look, and they find things that you never thought anybody in their right mind would ever come looking for.
Or care about.
Or care about. And they give you grief over things that are not illegal, but they'd like you to think they are.
It's the scare tactics.
Right. And people know what they do. So when you read the newspaper that, you know, a man's been charged with possession with intent to distribute, well, most people know that's the farthest thing from the truth.
Yeah.
In Michigan, when you have over a certain amount, which is real funny, they tell everybody in grams how much weed you have.
Yeah.
Because
makes it sound so much more.
Oh, yeah, 600 grams.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that they weigh up your duff from your vaporizer.
Yeah.
That you've been saving to cook with.
Yep,
which,
yep.
You know, is nonsense.
Yeah.
But the
that's like decaf coffee.
That's right. The concept of a drug raid in America is something that most people who go through it,
yeah,
guilty or not, believe that these tactics should not be used on Americans. This is something that is just the most bizarre thing you've ever seen in your life. Now, there were some funny things that happened in my drug raid, and I hope that when my case is over I can talk about them. But the reality is what people read in the paper wasn't the truth at all.
Yeah.
They charged me with 7 different gun crimes, 4 of which have been dropped already, and you'll never read about that in the newspaper.
Which ones were dropped?
4 of the 7 gun crimes were dropped.
Of the gun crimes. And charges, rather.
Right. And the problem is the newspaper will never report about that.
Of course not. They never tell the second half of the story.
Right, right. And, you know, the reality of this is that this is a case of mistaken identity, of not checking to make sure that you know who you're dealing with before you deal with them.
Yeah.
I am a medical patient. I shouldn't have a problem. That's basically what I have to say.
Yeah. Well, I certainly believe that that is true, and I certainly hope that the courts will out on that. And well, let's do this. I'm gonna go ahead and roll this clip, even though we're not sure yet what John is doing in Chicago. But I want to keep you on the line for a little bit and talk about a couple other things. Hopefully, in the meantime, we'll hear from John.
Sure.
But let's. Go ahead and roll this clip. This is, of course, on behalf of John Sinclair and, of course, the 40th anniversary of the Hash Bash that was kicked off by his bust in, it was 1971, Adam?
The first Hash Bash was in 72.
72.
Okay. John was released in prison in December of 71, and Hash Bash was... you know what? When we come back,
let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Absolutely. So it's Hemp Rock Radio, of course. Let Burn Man roll up clip number 11, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. Of course, you know who this is. Listen to the story and the song about John Sinclair. We'll be back.
If he was is due.
Cincinnati musicians, interested in submitting your music to be included in our local music library? CDs can be mailed to WVQC at 1100 Ray Street, Cincinnati, Ohio 45202, 513-651-4171, extension 11, or email to wvqcprogramming@mediabridges.org. Radio edits only, please.
WVQC, people-powered radio.
Hey, this is Willie, and you're going to be voting for a governor in your state, Kentucky, pretty quick. So think about getting with Galbraith, because he's my friend. I've known him a long time. He and I believe the same way about a whole lot of things, and I think you believe a lot of the same things that he does. So hear him out. Gatewood for governor. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Willie Nelson, and I started the Tupac Party so we could tax, regulate, and legalize marijuana. If you lean a little to the left like us, please join us at Facebook.com/Teapot Party or through your local party, including the Cincinnati Northern Kentucky Teapot Party, or start one in your area. And I like that. Hi, I'm Willie Nelson. And you're listening to Hip Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati 95.7 FM and WVQC.org, low power to the people. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
All right, if you just tuned in, it is, of course, Hemp Rock Radio. Let me get my microphone on. I can't hardly hear myself. Here I am. Okay, as I said, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the happy... Uh-oh, I think we just lost our guest. So give me just a minute, and we'll try to get him back on the air. All right. Oops. Having issues in here, folks. I'm going to... turn that off there. Anyway, if you just tuned in, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and our guest on the line was Adam Brook, and I hope to get him back on the air here in just a couple of minutes. There he is. Let's see if we can get him in here. Adam, are you there?
I am now.
All righty. Sorry about losing you there for a minute. Anyway, it is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress, and on the line with me is Adam Brook from Michigan, of course, the Detroit area. I do want to tell you, of course, that song you heard before the break, of course, was John Sinclair from John Lennon. Of course, he wrote that on behalf of John Sinclair when he got busted for two joints and got 10 years. And this Saturday is the celebration of the rally smoking that came after that, as Adam said, in 1972, right?
Yes. Basically, John was released in 71 in December after the Chrysler, 3 days after the Chrysler Arena show, and the Michigan Supreme Court had ruled that the marijuana laws were unconstitutional, and the legislature had made new laws that were to take effect on April 1st, and people had posted signs around town about a smoke-in on April 1st in order to kind of say a big, you know, F you to the man. So,
right. April Fool's Day, nonetheless.
Right. And at the time, yeah, we were doing it April Fool's Day on April 1st. That was how it started in 72. And then from there, it had a life of its own. You know, it really had to do with the response to the legislature when they came up with a new set of marijuana laws. Yeah, and it's fun to have Sinclair there because he certainly was a major part of it, even though he didn't attend very few hash bashes.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have him there now.
Yeah, I think as far as that I've been coming over the last number of years, he's been there. Now, of course, one of the people that's missing, as you know, is Chef Raw, who used to come all the time, and he passed in 06, so we don't get to see his long dreads dragging the ground anymore, unfortunately. But so now I have an article in front of me that I want to run by. I'm sure you've seen this, and it's one of the things that I get on my soapbox, as you know, and this is one of the things that really pisses me off. Medical marijuana dispensary opens near Catholic church and school. Should this be illegal? Now this comes from Connect.
Yeah.
Michigan, or something, Detroit, Michigan. It's a
yes.
Newspaper or online. I'm not sure if it's online or what, but it's out of the Detroit area. And they're wanting to know, well, should it be illegal to have a medical marijuana? Personally, I don't care if it's medical or otherwise. I personally, of course, have no issue with that. And here's why, Adam. And then I want your opinion on this. In the area where I live, there is an elementary school right directly across the street. I mean, literally, two corners. A little tiny street at a light across the street from each other is an elementary school and a Walgreens. Now, you say, well, it's just a Walgreens. Okay, but wait a minute, folks. Think about this. How many drugs over the counter can a kid get in a Walgreens? They also sell alcohol. There's bars next to schools all the time. Why should it matter if some marijuana is next to them? So tell us what's going on and what you see, what's going on up there with this kind of stuff going on.
Well,
it's just ridiculous.
Here's the problem. Here's the whole problem, which you have to understand about Michigan. The reason all these communities are coming up with these goofy ordinances that people laugh at because it doesn't make any sense is because it's the only control the local community has is land use issues where they can create these ordinances. So they do this with bars all the time. Anytime in a modern community, now don't forget, any bar that's near a school has been there for 50 years.
Yeah, it's already grandfathered in.
Right. If you want to open up nowadays, you have to be 1,000 feet away from everything.
Yeah.
And another bar sometimes. So, you know, the fact that you're right, these drugstores can open up on three out of the four corners and a school could be on the fourth.
Yeah.
And nobody says anything about that.
Yeah, they can walk in and buy Tylenol PM, or I mean rather steal Tylenol PM right off the counter and die.
Well, I mean, I've always said, similar to you, that personally I don't care where a marijuana dispensary, grow op, whatever is.
Yeah.
I live a half a mile from a Catholic school, and I think that if there was a dispensary or a grow shop that opened up on the corner, the kids from the school should be required to go there and learn.
Yeah. Personally, I'd rather live next to the dispensary than the Catholic school and church.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. they were there before I was.
Yeah.
Of course, I think I might have made a mistake moving to Oakland County.
I bet.
But, the thing in Michigan right now is that these communities don't quite know what to do with themselves, because many of them feel that if they don't take some action, they will get run over. Now, I happen to be a big proponent every time I hear of a community that wants to vote on a moratorium. I love that, because that just means that we're going to be talking about medical marijuana sometime in the future when your moratorium ends. So if you want to stick your head in the sand for the next 120 days, you go right ahead, have your moratorium, we'll come back to you later.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other communities that are willing to take this on and have this argument right now.
Yeah.
There are some communities who have embraced this. There are one county in the Upper Peninsula that borders Wisconsin where the prosecutor said to all the law enforcement, do not bring me any marijuana cases. I don't want to get sued. So,
good.
You know, yeah, right. That's the place to move to.
Yeah.
But some communities, they understand that this isn't an issue. Other communities, they're trying to make an issue of this. And it's a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of reefer madness. I found something that I've kind of co-opted because, of course, when I found it, I was probably too high to write down who wrote it. But it talks about our Michigan Medical Marijuana Act is a well-written law, clearly understandable to anybody who approaches it with an open mind. The only people having a hard time understanding it are the public officials who are determined to thwart the will of the voters and just can't get the law to say what they want it to say, no matter how many times they read it. And I read that, and I just went, wow.
Yeah.
That's true, because our law is so simple. Our law, matter of fact, I had an argument with the detective on my case, because he told me he would let me help him work off my charges by turning people in. And I said, everybody I know is legal.
Yeah.
He says, well, you think so? I said, yeah. I mean, what do you want me to do, turn somebody in that has 72 plants? And he says, yeah, I'll take them. Why? Because in his eyes, when he reads the law, it says you can only have 5 patients if you're a caregiver. If you're one of the patients, many people think you can grow your own plus 5 more for 5 other people. It depends how you interpret the law.
Yeah.
Some people think the maximum number is 60. Some people think it's 72. Well, sounds like in Oakland County, they think it's 70. It's 60, and they're willing to raid anybody with 72.
Well, what'll happen, though, is the same thing that happened out in California, though. The Supreme Court of California, when cases came to them, they said there is no limit that you can say for personal, because everybody's personal. Who knows what somebody else should be having? So it was an open-ended amount.
Well, and that's how California got to their point now, where they are actually writing what it looks more like a prescription, where it has an amount.
Yeah.
And I know plenty of people who have, you know, been prescribed 5 and 10 pounds because they cook it. So
sure, and it takes a lot more to make it when you're cooking it.
That's right. So California certainly figured it out, but of course they had to get it from their Supreme Court. Well, yeah, if Oakland County wants to be the one to make it happen, it sounds like they are. And unfortunately, they do it on the backs of the people.
Right.
But you're right. Once we get this into the Michigan Supreme Court, they will decide. And unfortunately, I would rather have the people decide than the courts decide.
Yeah.
And I think the people did just fine voting our law in. Our law was very clear and basic, and it lets the patient take care of the patient and the caregiver take care of the patient, and it doesn't require outsiders' business at all.
Yeah. So now, what's going on with the feds trying to get the patient's list? First of all, they have no business having it.
Wait a minute. That's not what you think it is. Here's what happened.
Okay.
A guy was raided. He said, these are my patients. And he showed them 5 cards. He and somebody else in the raid made 7. The feds want to be able to see those 7 names on the list. They're not asking to see the whole list.
Okay.
They're asking to verify that those 7 names are on the list. Now, our law is unique. Because it's a medical record, the law enforcement has to have the card in hand, call a number, or use the computer to verify a number. They can only get the name if they have to verify the ID of the individual if there's an ID question. If there's no ID question, then they don't have a right to the name. So that's why the DEA didn't have access. All they could do is be told yes that that card was valid. They weren't able to verify the name.
Good.
And according to what I've read from the DEA, and this is in their briefs, so, you know, you write this stuff in your briefs, that's what you're telling the court.
Yeah.
They weren't interested in these individuals' names to find out who they were. They had access to the card. You know, they knew who they were. They needed access to prove who they were, to prove that the cards were legitimate. And that's what they were trying to do, was just verify this.
Okay.
And you know, local law enforcement knows who these people are. So
yeah.
It's not that it's a secret, but our law is written in such a way because it's a medical issue.
Yeah.
So we have that protection of the HIPAA laws. And so far the courts have ruled in that favor, you know.
Right. Well, I think it scared a lot of people, and that's what a lot of people are opposed to with some of the medical rules in some of the different states, is getting on a list. The fear of this drug war, and frankly, I can understand that. Why does anybody want to be put on a list? Why should we have to be put on a list? Is there a specific list of people who get Prozac from the doctors?
No, but here's the interesting thing. This is interesting, because I get that phone call regularly.
I bet.
From people that say, well, I don't really want to get on the list.
Yeah.
Well, getting on the list affords you one protection and one protection only. It enables you to get a card from the state that you can flash a police officer and most of the time walk away with your weed and not be bothered, as long as you're within the law.
Yeah.
Without that card, you get arrested, you lose your dope, you have to prove in court that the law applies to you, and the law does have this affirmative defense to it,
yeah.
And nowhere in the law does it actually require you to get the card to have the protection of the law.
Just extra protection on the street.
Correct. It enables, and I've heard people showing their cards at their front door to officers who have come into their house, counted their plants, and left, never to be heard from again.
Wow. Well, that's great for the cops doing that.
Well, that's because they're willing to accept somebody as being legal.
Yeah.
Now, if the guy says, well, I'm an anti-government kind of guy, which that's what I said, my card expired, and I knew that I had the protection of, a note from my doctor in my pocket, so I know how the law works,
right.
So I know I'm covered at that point.
Right.
So I never thought they'd come into my house. So I wasn't out on the street. I'm handicapped. I don't go out much anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wasn't worried about that. It just so happened that a few days before this, I renewed my card and sent my caregiver registration in and all that. And, of course, the state of Michigan is like 4 and 5 months behind in processing people's cards, which is something that most people just don't have a concept of unless they're in the program, that you go and you get this approval, and then it takes 4 or 5 months to get this physical card in your hand. And, yeah, you can show your paper and stuff, but a lot of police officers don't necessarily respect that. They want to see that card. That's what they've been told to look for.
Right.
You know? And they respect it. That's what's cool. I had a friend stop down the freeway with a half a pound of weed, and the trooper pulled out his scale, weighed it all out, handed it back to him, and sent him on his way.
Well, that's good stories.
He had his card.
He had his card. Do you have your papers, sir, as they say?
That's exactly right, you know.
Well, I guess as long as they follow the law, once you provide them the paper, and they go, all right, you're good, go on. I mean, then it's working.
It is working. The problem is, many times it's not working for people because of mistakes they might have made. Not that those mean that they shouldn't be entitled to the coverage of the law. The law certainly is written in a way that it encompasses people with the affirmative defense. But they think they have one protection, and yes, they do, but not until they get busted and are in court and can make that argument.
Right.
So that makes a difference. But
wow.
I do happen to know that John is waiting to talk to you folks.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, then let's do this, Adam. I will, of course, be talking about the Hash Bash this weekend with John. Then we'll go ahead and we'll get you off the line, and I'll cut to a song from John. Actually, not a song. It's music put to poetry, as you know how John likes to do. And it comes from the CD Musical History of Hemp and the new Prohibition CD. So I will take you off of the line and open the line for John. And Adam, I want to thank you for sitting in today with us, and I will certainly see you this weekend. And I hope everything goes well for you with your case, and I believe it will.
Sure.
Awesome.
I appreciate that, and we'll see you this weekend.
You got it, Adam. Thank you very, very much. And we'll open the line for John Sinclair here in just a minute. Thanks, Adam. And as I said, it is Hemp Rock Radio. We will be back in just a minute with John Sinclair. In the meantime, check him out here on Hemp Rock Radio. We'll be right back.
This is the father of our country, George Washington.
I'm a man of cultivation, and I cultivate my own. I've examined every aspect of how the herb is grown. Sawing hemp for rope and sails requires no attention, but reaping potent smokables calls for intervention. The potency of the female plant decreases post-fertilization. I regret to say I arrived too late to make the separation. You see, the hemp behaves like human beings. Each one has a sex. Trying to keep the two apart has made us nervous wrecks. Nervous wreck. Sounds like some sort of diseased dinosaur. Look, I'm not trying to make waves. I have to confess to protect my reputation. No, I'm not gay. I smoke hemp. What you people call rope tobacco, reefer, gauge, grass, weed, pot, boo, bud, shit. In my day, we called it hemp. Not unlike today's United States, the 13 colonies' largest cash crop was hemp. Here I am, this supposed monument to integrity, and I sit here with my hands tied behind my back, watching otherwise law-abiding citizens get hauled off to the hoosegow for harvesting hemp. Certainly not what the architects of our society had envisioned. Depressing, isn't it? The whole country is going to pot. How can I start a revolution with no hemp? The morale of my troops will certainly droop if we stoop to stems and seeds. I'll have to cop from Jefferson to satisfy our needs. To satisfy our needs. Now Tommy's mellow in Monticello, toking up and writing down those grand ideals. Since we smoked and spoke and joked about the future of this land, I think I understand just how he feels. We hold these truths to be self-evident, etc. Down to the parts we like the best. To protect our own indulgences, we guarantee the pursuit of happiness.
All right, if you just tuned in, it is Hemp Rock Radio. make sure that clip stops. And I am the Happy Hemptress here at Hemp Rock Radio and WVQC.org and 95.7 FM here in Cincinnati. And I am, of course, waiting for John Sinclair to call in from Chicago. So in the meantime, we'll talk about what's going on. Of course, it is the Hash Bash weekend in Ann Arbor, Michigan this weekend. High noon on the Diag. Some of the guests, as Adam told you, my last guest, I want to thank Adam Brook from Detroit, Michigan, and one of the organizers with the normal chapter and the SSDP chapter, well, not officially, but sidebar help, and in putting on the Hash Bash on the Diag at, of course, the anniversary or the university in Ann Arbor. Now, some of the folks that are going to be performing, of course, at the Monroe Street Fair following the rally on the Diag, of course, is Dr. Dwyer, King Jazzy, Jim Cotta, Root Stand, Covert, and the Blind Pig Mac Pods, DJ Logic, and, of course, John Sinclair. Now, you can get to more information on that. You can find it in the Facebook. I believe there's also a page to go to. I'm not sure, but just do a quick search for Hash Bash 2011, and you'll find all the information, of course. And we will be there. And, of course, speaking, as Adam pointed out, not only will John Sinclair be there, Adam will be there, many others, including Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, who has pretty much thrown in his hat to run for president next year, along with Ron Paul on the Republican ticket. So I hope that one of them wins the nomination, and then they ask the other one, hey, be my running mate. That would be the coolest Republican ticket ever, and maybe we could make change in this country. I certainly hope so. Now, I want to tell you what that was that John did here, the song that we played. Of course, it's the talking song, as they would say, or the spoken word. It is from a CD called The Musical History of Hemp, The New Prohibition. And the song, of course, titled George Washington. And he talks about, of course, you know, what hemp is good for and all the things that it can do. So, anyway, let's see. We're trying to get John on the line, and I don't know if Adam is listening, but he is trying to make sure that John can call in. It has to do with a long-distance call. Anyway, we're trying to get him on the line. We want to make sure we get a couple of comments from him about this weekend, and so we hope to be able to do that. But don't forget, I have forgot to tell you all show, forgot to tell you, we have coming up in this last segment of the show, of course, in about 20 minutes, the Hemp Rock Cafe and the Pottsbury Bakery segment, of course, with Chef Pot and Hash, the Dope Boy. And today's recipe is going to be in honor of the Hash Bash this coming weekend. It's going to be hash oil candy bars. Can you imagine candy bars made with hash oil? Now, I believe that I had hash candy a few years ago in California. The guy was giving out little round pieces of candy, about an inch in diameter round. Little thin wafer of chocolate. I could barely eat one before, and they would knock me out. And I knew, Kenny, I'll put your microphone on if you want to say something. I knew that it had to be made with hash because it was so strong. I mean, I could eat a muffin and that does good stuff, or cookies and all that, but they usually are bulkier and bigger and they have a lot more butter. How much butter can be in a little tiny piece of chocolate?
Right.
A lot if it's hash bash, or hash oil and hash, not hash bash. I got hash bash on the brain. Okay. But, yeah. So stay tuned for that. It is going to be a great recipe from Chef Pot and Hash. I'm going to go ahead and roll these clips that are coming, because we're going to try to get John on the line. Unfortunately, we cannot make a long-distance call from the studio, and we're hoping that he can call us. Now, one of the things that I'm going to mention, and we'll probably talk more about this next week when I have more time, but somebody I know that's a pain patient, like Adam, was last week drug-tested at his pain clinic, and the next day he sat in with his counsel, the psychiatrist, and the guy hands him this catalog, or not really catalog, but a glossy little paper, and says, you know, you failed a drug test for marijuana. And that's all the doctor says to him. He doesn't talk to him about his problems that week. He's paying this guy as a counselor psychologist and doesn't say anything about his personal issues that he's supposed to be helping him with. He just hands him this glossy and says, you failed for marijuana. And what this is a beautiful glossy that opens a full-size page, opens up to the size of four put together. It's like made for little kids. And believe it or not, it is from the National Institute of Drug Abuse. Yes, your federal tax dollars that they claim they don't have. And they have to cut programs everywhere. Is still funneling into this drug war through the medical people that are drug testing pain patients who should be using marijuana along with their pain meds. It's called the BP Weekly, which I can hardly read this in here. Can't. I need some better glasses, I think.
Does it stand for British Petroleum?
That's what I thought. Yeah. Can you read that little tiny fine print there underneath that thing there?
Nope.
I guess they think that only people that smoke marijuana can read that. Yeah, well, I cannot make that out. That is just so terrible. Anyway, it's called Weeding Out the Grass. Weeding Out the Grass, folks. This thing is so ridiculous. It's got little things on the back. Science in the Spotlight. Grassroots Research. This is Grassroots, the National Institutes on Drug Abuse. It is a U.S. federal government agency that uses science to learn more about the harmful effects of drugs. Research on marijuana provides useful information about how the drug affects school, work, and social life. That's Grassroots. They're double entendre. And they've got pictures of all these plants all over the glossy, and not one of them are marijuana.
That's
yeah, go figure. Here's one of the things that I love. Social life. Marijuana use is also linked to psychological problems such as depression and anxiety. Do you ever notice how they always say it causes the things that it fixes?
Yeah.
It's the magician's trick.
They got it all backwards.
They do backwards on purpose. Social life. Studies show that marijuana users can have fewer skills that help people maintain self-confidence, help people continue striving for goals. Now, you'd think that after 20 years of being in this movement, I would have given up my goal a long time ago because I smoke pot. According to that, me, you, Gatewood, and all these other people, Adam, Jack, 40 years of his life, all of us would have given up a long time ago because we use marijuana.
It motivates me.
Well, that's it. They're claiming that it demotivates us and makes us not care about our goals. If that were the case, why would I be the idiot sitting here on this microphone, on this radio station,
week after week,
week after week, after years of fighting for my show, a decade fighting to get back on the air, you'd think I would have gave up a long time ago because I smoke marijuana. According
to
Tanita,
they don't want us to achieve nothing. That's what it is.
They don't want us to win.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because marijuana makes us stand by our goals even longer.
Right.
Really, I think it kind of makes us dumb enough to think maybe we'll win.
Oh, we're getting strong.
I really think we're going to win anyway. That's right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and cut to a song and some IDs and some information because we're still trying to get John Sinclair on the line from Chicago. So in the meantime, I'm going to roll up this next clip. Of course, it is, again, on behalf of SSDP, the Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And we'll be back in just a minute.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
Hi, I'm Tanya Davis, and I'm fighting for you and medical marijuana common sense here in Ohio. And you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC LP Cincinnati, 95.7 FM, and WVQC.org. Low power to the people and the patients. Also on WEEDRadioNetwork.com.
Don't wanna fuss, don't wanna fight. I want my medicine.
I was working in the lab late one night when I heard the gurgle of a water pipe. So I turned to see my monster in a cloud of smoke, who said, "This shit ain't bad. Here, have a toke.
We smoked some hash.
We smoked some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
It was his personal stash.
We smoked some hash.
We got completely trashed.
A monster hash.
We smoked some monster hash.
Wow.
As we partied in the castle with the living dead. Mouths were dry and eyes were red. The ghouls and goblins shrieked and screamed. Won't somebody please pass the Visine?
They smoked some hash.
They smoked some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
From Frankie's personal stash.
We smoked some hash.
And they all were smashed.
A monster hash.
They smoked some monster hash.
Whoa.
The mummy was toking on a bong. Man said, "Don't bogart that, pass it along." The swamp thing was toasted, rolling on the floor, laughing hysterically and pleading for more. The scene was rocking as the werewolves moved to the undead reggae band's dance hall grooves. Meanwhile, in the kitchen, Frankenstein baked some Alice B. Toklas brownies and cakes.
We ate some hash.
We ate some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
It had the graveyard smash.
We ate some hash.
And we all got trashed.
A monster hash.
We ate some monster hash.
Whoa.
The party would have gone on till we all passed out.
Whoa.
But just then we heard a blood-curdling shout.
Whoa.
Watch out! Beware! Cover your necks!
Whoa.
Dracula's got the munchies and he's totally wrecked.
He smoked some hash.
He smoked some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
He was completely smashed.
He smoked some hash.
That Transylvanian's trash.
A monster hash.
He smoked some monster hash.
Whoa.
Now every night the dead rise up from the grave.
Whoa.
To partake in a happening THC rave.
Whoa.
For you, the living, this hash was meant to.
Whoa.
When you get to my door, just say the toys sent you.
We'll smoke some hash.
We'll smoke some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
We'll all get trashed.
We'll smoke some hash.
From my personal stash.
A monster hash.
We'll smoke some monster hash.
Mm-hmm.
Hash.
Monster hash.
Easy boy, save
monster
some
hash.
For daddy.
Hey, Hemp Rockers, this is Chef Potnash, the Pottsbury Dope Boy, coming to you from the kitchens of the Pottsbury Bakery and the Hemp Rock Cafe with this week's recipe, one I'm sure you're going to get a real kick out of. I love combining organic ingredients into my cooking, and this week's recipe is for a treat that is all organic and so very good and good for you on top of it. This week, we're going to be making some hash oil candy bars. All the ingredients in this recipe can be bought from your organic section of your local grocery. And what you need is 4 1/4 ounces of dates that you chop really fine, 4 1/4 ounces of raisins, 4 1/4 ounces of figs, 4 1/4 ounces of almonds that are ground, 1 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1 teaspoon of ginger, 4 tablespoons of can of butter that you heat up on the side. And what you do is combine all your ingredients except the butter in a saucepan and warm them over a very low heat. You don't want to sear these or burn them. Just get them nice and warm. Slowly stir in your hot butter mixture and stir it well. Remove from the heat after that.
Cool the mixture and knead it by hand in a bowl until all the ingredients are well blended. Roll and cut into individual candy bars. Wrap unused portions in wax paper or plastic and refrigerate. I usually cut my candy bars about 4 to 5 inches long, depending on how potent I want the effects to be. This recipe will produce a 15-ounce loaf, so use your own judgment. I'm off to go make myself a loaf of this right now, so you all have a great afternoon. Coming to you from the Weed Radio Network studio in picturesque western Cincinnati, this is the Pottsberry Doughboy, Chef Pot and Hash of the Hemp Rock Cafe and the Pottsberry Bakery, saying peace.
Hi, this is the Pottsberry Doughboy, Pot and Hash, and you're listening to Hemp Rock Radio on Radio Free Queen City, WVQC.org, Cincinnati's 95.7 FM.
All right, it is, of course, Hemp Rock Radio, as Chef Pot and Hash says. And, of course, as I mentioned before, the recipe of the day was on behalf of the Hash Bash this coming weekend on Saturday, April 2nd this year. Again, it was the Hash Oil Candy Bars. And right before that was from the Toys, was the Monster Hash. Now, I know it isn't Halloween, folks, but I got to get the Monster Hash in there for Hash Bash. And, of course, on the line with us, as I promised, is the man himself, John Sinclair. Very special guest calling us from Chicago to discuss what's going on with his stuff and, of course, the Hash Bash this weekend. John, how are you doing today?
Hi, Lynn. I'm doing fine.
Wonderful. I thank you for all the troubles of trying to get in, and I know you were doing another show up in Chicago, so I hope everything went well.
Yeah, I was doing the show with Nick Tremulous.
Wonderful. And, of course, you know, I have to say that I am proud to have one of my favorite DJs on the line with us here. Now,
thank you.
You know, as I said on the phone a minute ago, I was teasing you. I still really wanted to, at some point, have you on while you're on Radio Free Queen City here from Radio Free Amsterdam. Are you still doing that show out in Amsterdam?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am.
Well, tell us about that.
Seventh
year, fantastic.
RadioFreeAmsterdam.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, do you do that live or is that pre-recorded? How's that done?
Oh, I make little one-hour programs and then I post them.
So, okay, pre-recorded. Well, you know, that's the beauty of the Internet. I think it's fantastic.
I pretend like I'm live.
Exactly.
Now, I'm live while I'm talking.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, I want to let people remind people who you are. Of course, you were a DJ in Ann Arbor, right, back in the 70s?
Yeah, Ann Arbor, Detroit, New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, New Orleans, too. And
I was on WWOZ for 12 years.
Wonderful. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that that's what kicked off Hash Bash, that you got busted for two joints for 10 years. And we played earlier in the show, of course, the song from John Lennon.
Great.
John Sinclair played that. And also a clip that you did on the Musical History of Hemp, a New Prohibition CD, your song, George Washington, that you did.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, we've played that for years on behalf of what you do. It's such a great, great story that you know, the spoken word put to music.
Thank you.
It's great. So tell people, you know, we've only got a few minutes left in the show, and, well, we got about 15 minutes left with you.
I'm having lunch at Buddy Guy's Club right now. My gumbo's sitting there waiting for me.
Well, we cannot let your gumbo go cold. Well, real quick, tell us, of course, your feelings on what's happened with what happened with you back in the day and where we've come today, and about the Hash Bash a little bit.
Well, fortunately, my problems ended 40 years ago when I was released from prison.
Thank God.
For possession of two joints. I did 2.5 years out of a 9.5 to 10 year sentence.
Crazy.
John Lennon came to Ann Arbor and a bunch of other people, and right after that, they let me out. That was 1971, a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know I saw the video. There's a documentary out about the story as well. Is that still able to be found for people to purchase?
Yeah.
And do you know where they can find that? Do you have a site for that?
Which one? You mean U.S. versus John Lennon? Mine is
yours.
By the great Cincinnati filmmaker Steve Gebhardt.
Wonderful. I did not know that.
20 to life.
20 to life. That's it. Now, can they find that on johnsinclair.us?
I think they have to go to Amazon or somebody.
Okay. Well, I know it's a great video. It tells the story and has, you know, I love the scene where you're being released from jail.
Yeah, me too. yeah, happiest that, moment of my life so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So, you know, I want to get some feelings from you real quick. I knew that you knew John and Yoko, but how does that feel to know that, especially after all the years that he's been gone, that he and Yoko came out and protested and wrote that song on behalf of you? I mean,
it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is such a great thing, and you know, what more can be said about that? So now you're going to be at the Hash Bash this weekend, of course.
Yeah, I'll be there Saturday, and after the official festivities, we have the Monroe Street Fair a block away that goes on all afternoon. And then I get to play with a band called Mac Pods at the Flying Pig that night.
Yeah, the Mac Pods. You can get them at the Mac.
We do that every year now.
Yeah, their website is the Mac Pods with a Z on the end .com. And
yeah,
check them out.
People.
Yeah, now I know it's going to be good weather, so it should be a great, great time. Now, I hear from Adam that Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, is going to join you in the Dyad.
Oh, very good.
Oh, you did not know that? Oh, I think
I don't know.
We might have had an exclusive there.
I've been in New Orleans for the Mardi Gras, and then I was in Mississippi and Arkansas, and I'm in Chicago tomorrow. I'll be in Detroit.
Fantastic,
so
fantastic.
Catch up when I get there.
Yeah. Now, do you actually live most of the time in Amsterdam?
As much as I can get away with.
I was going to say, you lucky dog.
Yeah. Well, it's not all luck.
Yeah. Now tell me, since you are over there, what's going on over there? I know that the I guess it's the conservative parties. I'm not really sure what they're called in that country. Are trying to get the dispensaries closed first, and if not that, then limited to just the locals. How are they doing on that? How's our end?
Well, they're always trying to drive things backwards. But on the other hand, you can go to a coffee shop and buy your weed over the counter.
I know,
so that's pretty ideal to me.
Yeah, me too. Now, I know they're trying to make it so if you're not local, you won't be able to do that if you're a tourist.
They're trying. I don't think they're going to get away with it. All my friends there say it's not going to happen.
Well, I hope they're right. That was why, you know, I figured you would have a better perspective being there and knowing what, you know.
You know, the right wing, they like to rattle their sabers as much as they can. But
yeah,
they can't always get it out of the scabbard.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be really stupid. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
I know the
stupid.
Most, yeah, right. I mean, that is their tourist attraction. Everybody wants to go to Amsterdam for the cannabis.
Yeah.
You know, why would we want to go if, I mean,
well, there's a legalized prostitution that helps too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that doesn't really do anything for me.
No, but
I approve.
For the tourists. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate it, and I think everything like that should be legal, but I'm not going to go to Amsterdam to see the prostitutes.
No.
You know? But I'll go there to smoke pot.
Amen. Me too.
Yeah. So, well, real quick, I know your gumbo's getting cold, so I want to give you a couple minutes to say anything that you would like to the folks about your experience and how to encourage people that have been in your position or are in your position on how to fight that. Of course, they won't
important.
Have John. They won't have John
fight
on their
back.
Side.
It's, get a good lawyer and fight back.
And fight back. That's right. Fantastic. Well, John, I definitely want to have you on again in the future, but I will see you this weekend. I will let you go. We're almost at the top of the show. And
call me anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And have a beautiful, beautiful gumbo there in Chicago at the Buddy Guy Club there. And
I'm going back there now.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And we will see you this weekend in Hash Bash.
Thanks for that. Oh, great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was John Sinclair, and I want to thank him and, of course, Adam Brook for getting him on the phone for us from Chicago at the Buddy Club restaurant and club. Or Buddy Guy, I'm sorry, Buddy Guy Club and restaurant. That would be a cool place to go. Now, you know, Kenny, I was in Chicago a few times, and I got a big bang out of sitting in a Chinese restaurant in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you go to a Chinese restaurant, and they're playing Chinese music.
Right.
In Chicago, the Chinese restaurant's playing the blues.
Really?
Chicago blues.
Well, that's Chicago for you.
Yeah. I'm like, now this is odd. I guess you know you're in Chicago when even the Chinese restaurants are playing the blues.
Yeah.
But great talking to John Sinclair, and I've had the pleasure of meeting him numerous times. And matter of fact, he has some of our Hemp Rock t-shirts, by the way. And so I will hopefully run into him at the Bash this weekend and see what's going on there. Again, that is High Noon on the Diag down on the University in Ann Arbor. Now, as I said earlier, you know, I know it's not Halloween, But I had to play the Monster Hash from the toys on behalf of the Hash Bash. And I hope you caught that wonderful recipe of the hash oil candy bars from Chef Pot and Hash. And so stay tuned. Of course, we will have another one next week. And I'm going to try to get to a little bit of other news here before we get out of here. You know, we've talked a lot about Montana and what happened there a couple of weeks ago where they raided, I believe now, 28 dispensaries. Nobody charged, of course. And this came from last week. You know, as John just said, fight and get a lawyer, fight back. This comes from Montana. Valerie Sigler said her business did nothing illegal, so the co-owner of Big Sky Patient Care, a medical marijuana dispensary in Four Corners, Montana, was back open for business last Monday. Sigler and her husband decided to continue providing medical marijuana to patients after speaking with their lawyer on Sunday, reports Daniel Person at the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Big Sky Patient Care was one of around 10 dispensaries raided by the federal DEA. In that city alone. The raids were supposedly targeting criminal networks, said U.S. Attorney's Office, or the U.S. Attorney's Office claimed in a press release following the searches. Sigler said she is confident her business is in compliance with Montana law and said she felt comfortable reopening its doors. I am not going to leave my patients, she said. The raids have left them on such a lurch. We have not violated any Montana law, Sigler said. Asked where she would get marijuana for her patients after the federal raids, Sigler said the business had a storefront in Butte, Montana, that was not searched by the agents. The federal government does not recognize medicinal or any other uses for marijuana, but the Obama administration said in 2009 that going after medical marijuana businesses that comply with state law was not a good use of resources. But U.S. Attorney Michael Cotter claimed the raids, which were carried out with the participation of local law enforcement, targeted businesses where there is probable cause that the premises were involved in illegal and large-scale trafficking in marijuana. Now, how can they tell the difference? They can't. An affidavit filed by agents in federal court claimed Big Sky Patient Care sold several pounds of marijuana to a Helena dispensary after that business was vandalized. Well, somebody's got to provide. That would be sharing for other patients, not selling marijuana. It's all semantical as far as I'm concerned. Sigler said those sales were legal since Montana law allows caregivers to transport and transfer marijuana and maintained that the raids came in retaliation for her activism on the issue. And, of course, no charges have been filed in connection with the raids. But don't expect the $4 million seized in the operation to be returned anytime soon. Of course, now, that source is out there. We shared it from tokeofthetown.com. And we will keep you up on what's going on in Montana with all of these raids. It is just ridiculous. Now, here's some good news coming out of, let's see, Washington, the state of Washington. I love this because, you know, we talked with Gatewood on the show yesterday that was recorded on Sunday. And we were talking about some of the different states with medical are writing into their laws that people that have been busted for dealing in marijuana in the past should not be allowed to then become legitimate and become a dispensary for patients. And we're like, that's just ridiculous. People that get busted for marijuana are usually the ones that know how and what to do and share it correctly. Why shouldn't the people who know the topic and their subject and their medicine be the ones to help the patients? They've been helping the patients for now years. So why shouldn't they get to do it after legalization? And this case, boy, if this case doesn't touch that topic, I don't know what does, but I personally like the outcome. County's first medical marijuana trial quickly ends in acquittal. Now, on that topic, you should also check out FIJA, Fully Informed Jury Amendment, on jury nullification. This is Yakima County, Washington's first medical marijuana dispensary trial quickly ended in acquittal last Thursday. The Superior Court jury that heard the charges against Valtino Hicks of Yakima returned its verdict in less than 25 minutes, reports Mark Morey of the Yakima Herald Republic. At least two other local medical marijuana cases are pending, and the issues remain controversial across the state. King County, home of Seattle, has declined to prosecute marijuana dispensaries, and a bill advanced this week in the legislature which would create a legal framework for licensed dispensaries. The Yakima County Prosecutor's Office had no immediate comment on the verdict or whether the outcome of the case would affect future prosecutions. Defense attorney George Hansen said he spoke with a few of the jurors who indicated that they needed to see more from the state, he said. The jury returned its quick verdict despite the fact that Judge Rob Lawrence Berry barred any testimony regarding a medical marijuana card, which Hicks said he had. Now, what is going on? This is happening in the federal cases. This is happening now in some of the states. The state of Washington has medical, and they're telling this guy he can't say that he's a medical patient in a legal state where he is?
They're crooks.
Talk about crooks. It is pathetic.
Yeah.
Absolutely pathetic. Whatever happened to your right to tell your side of the story in a case in a court of law?
The left hand don't know what the right hand's doing.
They don't want to know what the other hand's doing.
Right.
You know, talk about blind justice. That's what blind justice means. The state gets to tell their side, but you, we don't want to hear it.
Right.
We're not going to look at your reason, even if it's legitimate. We're just going to prosecute you. Nope, sorry, you can't defend yourself. Boy, don't get me started. The prosecution claimed Hicks was responsible for 201 plant growing operation at his home that far exceeded the 15-plant limit for medical marijuana patients or providers. The plants were confiscated during the raid. The defense called six witnesses who all said they were either medical marijuana patients or authorized providers for the patients. Hicks was described as a passionate advocate for medical marijuana who is continuing to take horticulture classes and remains committed to the cause despite his legal problems. In closing arguments, the DA, Lee Ann Foster, claimed that Hicks' viewpoint on the issue had nothing to do with the current law. Really? How does she say that? Marijuana is still a controlled substance, whether Mr. Hicks likes it or not, she says, arrogantly to the jury. Their 25-minute acquittal stands as an excellent answer to that. Hicks was busted in March of 2010 after the cops got a tip that a marijuana-growing operation was being run out of a home where he lived with his mother in Yakima. Boy, they're really dangerous, aren't they? Him and his mom. Hicks, who has drug convictions on his record, was arrested on charges alleging he was manufacturing marijuana and possessed it with intent to deliver. Although Deputy Prosecutor Foster stressed the fact that Hicks had a digital scale, which she claimed was common to drug dealers, yeah, and postal workers, no evidence of illegal marijuana dealing was presented. The home was promoted on a website as a place where authorized patients could get marijuana. Hicks' mother, who was not called to testify, said in an earlier interview that the Herald Republic that illegal drug dealers, or an interview with the Herald Republic, that illegal drug dealers would rarely advertise on the Internet. That website is still up, although a phone number listed was out of service last week. The defense maintained that Hicks was doing nothing more than providing a place where other patients could grow marijuana. Quote, there was no intent to deliver, proven by the state, Hansen told the jury. Washington's voters approved the medical marijuana initiative in 1998, but the law does little to provide patients with safe access, according to advocates. Under one interpretation of the law, large grow operations would be illegal even for medical purposes, but advocates counter that the state's medical law is silent on that issue. Greg Scott, a Yakima defense attorney who is handling two other medical marijuana cases, said cannabis is the only legal drug for which a doctor's authorization is not a clear-cut defense. I think the legislator needs to clarify exactly what it is they will allow and what it is they will not allow, he said. Now, you know, all I can say is the people spoke, let the people speak again.
Right.
And it's just crazy.
And more people need to get out there and speak up.
Yeah. So kudos to that jury. And my advice to other people out there who are registered voters, first of all, if you're not, get registered to vote. Because guess what, folks? They can then choose to put you on a jury.
Right.
They can choose not to if they don't like you. But if you become a juror, whether it's in this city, state, or otherwise, you can do the same thing. Even if it's not a medical law. In that state, you can vote not guilty and start setting precedents all the time, whether or not they're allowed to put in medical defense or not.
Right.
And so that's my advice. Get the lawyer, like John says, a lawyer that's willing to fight, and then fight it to the end and plead not guilty on no matter what it is, so then the jury can decide whether or not the state has presented enough evidence, or even if so, they can still vote not guilty by reason of conscience. It's called jury nullification. Folks, look it up. Fully informed jury amendment. Now, of course, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I'm the Happy Hemptress, and we are going to roll out of here. Stay tuned, of course, for next week's show. Same time, same place here at WVQC LP Cincinnati, WVQC.org, Radio Free Queen City. Kenny, thanks for sitting in, and even if you did take a nap.
No problem.
Somebody's got to sleep for me. You might as well.
I was in the zone.
That's all right. And, of course, the Burn Man's out there doing something for the 420 appliance, I know. And so we will come back next week and tell you all the fun we had at Hash Bash in Ann Arbor. Also, don't forget 420 in D.C. Overgrow the G-O-V-T. .com or .org for more information for that 420. And also, if you can't make it there, don't forget the 4th of July smoke-in in D.C. So, anyway, it is Hemp Rock Radio, and I am out of here. And Country Kenny and Burn Man and Chef Potash will all be back next week. We will see you later. Stay high.
This has been the Tuesday edition of Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, the Burn Man, and the Pottsbury Dope Boy Pot and Hash. Speaking for the legalization of marijuana. Hemp Rock Radio airs Mondays and Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern on WVQC LP. Find Hemp Rock Radio archives at weedradionetwork.com.
Watch Hemp Rock TV on Northern Kentucky's Insight Cable Channel 21, Cincinnati's Time Warner Cable Channel 4 and 24, and now online at weedradionetwork.com.
You can join the Hemp Rockers list at HempRock.com and the Hemp Rock Hemp Line at 513-684-HEMP. That's 513-684-HEMP. To help end Cincinnati's harmful marijuana ordinance, please visit CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. That's CincinnatiMarijuanaLaw.com. Hemp Rock Radio, the Pottsbury Bakery, and Hemp Rock Cafe are brought to you by Hemp Rock Productions. Thanks for listening to Hemp Rock Radio and Radio Free Queen City, a member of Media Bridges Community Media Center on 95.7 FM, WVQC-LP, Cincinnati. WVQC-LP broadcasts from Cincinnati's Computer Cooperative Studios. You can listen online, become a member, and support the station at WVQC.org. Don't go away. WVQC is still on the air at WVQC.org. Don't want it to get high.